Everyone, this is Ron Stefanski, the host of Disrupt Ed, and we're starting a new series on LinkedIn Live. This is my first one, so go easy on me. But the idea here is, the title of this live stream video show is Great Storytelling for Community Engagement. But let's get real. What it really is more about is developing your thought leadership, developing storytelling in today's social media environment. When you have a day job, let's face it, how do you become a thought leader for your tribe, your team, your company, your industry? You don't get to take a course and get certified at the end and say, oh, I'm a thought leader. You have to have other people out there who seem to think you're a thought leader. That's how it comes. And there's a lot that goes in that. And so I think there's a an opportunity here to talk with those of you out there who have a real interest in developing your thought leadership. You may have been in a, this has happened a numerous times. People come to me and say, I just had a performance evaluation went really well with my boss, but then they said, I really want you to get out of your comfort zone and do more at our trade shows, or I want you to get out of your comfort zone and start networking more and developing a voice out there. And you kind of go back to your office and say, did they realize I have a day job? That's a lot. And many of us find in our careers, mid-career, that we're hun we're hunkered down, we're hand we're heads down, doing the things that keep us in our jobs and keep us effective and productive. And we don't have, we don't see time for something that takes us out of our comfort zone, getting out in front of people. Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's butterfly producing. I've done my podcast for 4 years now, and I still get butterflies coming on because, I mean, in my case, look, I'm a 60 something white guy of privilege, classically, chronically overweight, perennially uncool guy. I'm not made for video, I'm made for radio. And so I think there's an opportunity here to talk about ways to do this because I think if I can do it, anyone out there can. So I'm not going to give you the answers. I don't have all the answers, but I do know how to bring people to the conversation that do. And today's guest is a dear friend of mine. And it would not be too much of an overstatement to say he's taught me everything I need to know and know about community engagement. And that's the co-founder of MarketScale, Tim Maitland. So Tim, I'd love to have you on the screen here. There he is. Just being his humble little self, down in Dallas, Texas there. Tim, welcome to this show, this first show about thought leadership for those with day jobs.
Hey, this is fun, Ron. Your first show going live, and I'm the first guest. I really am honored. So excited to have a good conversation with you, and hopefully the community
Well,
can take away one or two things.
as with many things, the first time is always special, Tim, And
That's right.
so let's get started here.
Let's do it.
Let's get started. I often think about the pivotal moment for me was being invited onto J.W. Marshall's Future of E-Learning podcast. And I'll never forget, I thought, oh, this is kind of fun. I kind of enjoyed it. I was a guest. I didn't have much prep. He just asked me questions. I kind of talked my ear off, talked his ear off. But then I got call from him saying, oh my God, we got a real audience boost from that. And then that's when I get this call from Tim Maitland. That's when you called me and you said, hey, you want to pitch us an idea for a podcast? We'd love to have you do your own show. I had to be honest, man. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, why me? I mean, so I want you to answer that question for our audience because I do not look like Mr. Podcast. I look like Mr. Hey, put another burger on the grill, kind of guy. So why did you think for some reason that I might be good at a podcast?
It's so easy. It's because you're authentic, Ron. Authenticity is the new technical. Authenticity is the new way to create. You have to be authentic, and getting to know you in a couple of those conversations and getting to see you on JW's podcast, it was just so apparent how authentic you were. And you didn't see education. You were in edtech at that time. You didn't see edtech and education as a job. You saw that as much a part of your life as Michigan football, as much part of your life as the city of Detroit. And those are the people that, I want to surround myself with, that I want Market Scale to represent, are the people that see their passions in their work life, in their personal life, and they can bring their authentic self into both those buckets. And it was a no-brainer. So I think I knew you were good before you were, because of the authenticity you have.
Before I knew I was any good at this, I think you hit a nerve with me here, in a positive way, and that's, I do have some big passions for boating and sailing, passions for the University of Michigan and its national championship football team, Tim, and the city of Detroit. But let's start with Michigan. I mean, you want a story? That's a story, right? I remember talking to you about Michigan throughout the season, and the call that I most remember is the one you gave me an hour before the Washington game. Do you remember that? You're like, Ron, dude, I'm going to be rooting for you guys. We did our best against Washington. They pummeled us, being the longhorn that you are. But then you went on. I mean, you didn't stop there. You were like, dude, you guys have never seen anything like Michael Penix. He's going to wipe you guys up. He's
Let's
going
go
to
ahead and
shred
cut the
you guys
broadcast, producers. No.
for 400 yards. Well, here's the thing about being authentic. I realize this. The last time that Michigan won a national championship, I was 38 years old. I'm 63 this year as we celebrate our latest national championship. And I'm going to be 88 by the time we do it again. So I can be obnoxious for a little bit longer. And I got a ways to go, right? So, but I do appreciate your passion for college football. And that was a fun season just to go back and forth. And I think the probably, I was disappointed that Washington beat you guys because I wanted to see a matchup between
I
Michigan and
did
Texas.
too.
But we are going to have that this fall.
We
So
are.
are you guys going to come to the big house? Are you've said you would, but I mean, are you really going to do that?
I hope so, Ron. Life has changed since I last said that. I might be on a honeymoon in Italy in that window, but if not,
Congratulations. Yes.
I don't know what it says. I might rather be in the seats of the big house watching that game. But all jokes
Well,
aside, I hope to be there.
congratulations to you and Carolyn. I think it's great to see you, making that commitment with someone truly special. I think you're really fortunate in that respect, and she's fortunate too. And so that's an exciting thing coming up on the horizon for you.
Thank
And
you.
maybe we should, what? I hadn't thought about this, but now that I've become podcast everything, maybe we should do a podcast about your wedding, or do a pre. A pre-podcast before you actually give your vows. We can get Carolyn's take on how she's feeling the moments before,
Let's do it. Let's do
But
it.
let's not.
Authenticity, right? So.
It's all about being authentic, and you helped me to understand that about myself. I think you learn things as you do this kind of stuff, and put yourself out there. And one of the things I learned is that I am chronically uncool. I am perennially uncool. And when I think maybe I've kind of gotten more toward the cool center of things, I have two young men, my two sons, who remind me, no, Dad, stop the action. You are definitely uncool. You've always been uncool. You will always be uncool. Here's the thing you taught me, though, Tim, which I really appreciate, and I really value our friendship for this. You taught me how to become cool adjacent, how to recognize that I may not ever be cool, but I can insinuate myself in the conversation with the cool kids, and they'll invite me to the lunch table with them, And I thank you for that, Tim, because I think that's been a part of being authentic, is letting people know, look, I am not the cool guy, but I can get you to the cool guy, So
Well, and
Tim,
I think
you
it's uncool to be it's cool to be uncool in today's world, because again, those who show passion and those who can literally geek out over something, they end up attracting more people, right? You look at any influencer, you look at any YouTuber today, podcaster, right? That's usually somebody who is extremely passionate about something. It could be model trains, it could be hot air balloons, it could be a local sports team, and they attract followers because they geek out over something and they bring that passion into it. So I think, Ron, I'd say you are cool because it's cool to be uncool today. It's backwards.
Well, Tim, I have to remind our audience, I first met you before you had started this company, at what, 25 years old, and I met you before you'd even turned 30, and you already had this thriving company. Tell us a little bit about your origin story. You're the guest here, so I want to hear a little bit about you and how you got into the media marketing world, and how you and your brother Ben decided that MarketScale was something you wanted to undertake.
Absolutely. So my brother and I, when we started MarketScale in 2015, we had both come from the advertising world. And what we had kind of seen and what we'd kind of, I think our guts were telling us were, look, people don't want to be persuaded to buy in B2B. They want to be educated. And we didn't find at the time that there was a great way outside of advertising for companies to go to market and to get their voices heard and to help customers understand their differentiators, because you can't really educate through an ad per se, at least the traditional ads. So when we started MarketScale, it was all about content marketing, right? HubSpot had their big inbound conferences going. They still have them, but it was all about inbound marketing. It was all about blog writing. And there were all these companies that were starting, Ron, that were all about, hey, we will make the content for you. Hey, we're going to write expert blogs. We're going to write expert case studies. And you know, we kind of jumped into that because it was something that was known at that point in B2B. And as a young company with literally no capital other than what we put into it, we had to create sales, right? We had to start creating cash flow. So that's kind of what we first attached ourselves to, but that wasn't our long-term vision. You know, we believe in our kind of motto and thesis at MarketScale is companies thrive when the actual experts become content creators. So once we had enough capital, we were able to develop our own tech platform, MarketScale Studio, which is the essence of content creation and what we preach to companies, which is, hey, instead of having that marketer write a blog, instead of hiring that outside expert to write a blog, hey, you have engineers, you have sales leaders, you have customers, you have friends in the industry. Those are probably your best marketers. You just have to give them a chance to create content. And that's where we are today, and that's our mission, is helping B2B companies, Ron, totally flip how they go to market and allowing it to take those authentic experts and allow them to lend their voice and engage the community.
Well, that's where I want to give you applause, Tim, because mm-hmm. you know, you guys came to me and said, why don't you pitch an idea about a podcast? I came up with the idea of Disrupt Ed, this idea that there's all this disruption going on, and I started it with the presumption that the disruption we were going to talk about was in the ed tech space, where I was most comfortable. And I brought my erstwhile companion and a colleague and partner in crime, Dr. Mm-hmm. Caesar, to the mix. And we started doing the show, and we started getting a lot of interest. And I think you're right. It is about that authentic storytelling. But more and more, I guess, and so I applaud you for taking a chance on me, because there's a certain math to this, right? I mean, I would, if you had told me 4 years ago when we started that I would, you know, I had 600 followers on LinkedIn. I was kind of on there, you know, once a month or whatever. If you had told me that I was going to have over 30,000 followers and I was going to have 72 post impressions a week, I mean, I would be saying to you, Tim, you are mofo crazy. Excuse my language, but you are just crazy. That's not going to happen with this space for radio. No, it's not going to happen. But we have built a following. And I think we built a following because we have found interesting people to tell their stories. You know, Caesar and I started by talking with people in the ed space that had interesting stories. And then suddenly, mm-hmm. you know, we had people in the advanced manufacturing that wanted to tell stories. You know, we had a chance to talk before the show about the latest one. I think this podcast that I'm going to introduce later on this week is just going to blow people's minds. I mean, the one thing that's wonderful about doing a podcast is it gives you a certain cachet to have conversations with anyone. And people are like, oh, you do a podcast. And they take that sort of seriously now. Why? Because there's a bazillion out there and podcasts become a thing. I know that I've not had too much problem attracting people to the show, but this latest guest, Tim, I mean, I just posted some photos of this big reveal that happened in Cape Canaveral last week. I'm going to be talking with, I did talk with, and we'll be launching our show with Jane Poynter, who's the CEO of Space Perspective. And get this, she and her husband started out in the space industry as aerospace engineers.
Wow.
during Biosphere in the 90s, Biosphere 202. They were participants in that. And they decided, you know what, if we're going to create a space business where civilians can go out into space and explore space, we got to think about this differently. So instead of coming up with a rocket to take civilians to space, they came up with this idea of a space balloon. This thing is crazy. Go to my social media feed, Ron Stefanski, and check out the photos of this thing. It looks like a teardrop. It looks like, when you look at all these photos, it looks like a photo shoot for the latest Jules Verne 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Out in Space. I mean, it's crazy how wickedly and innovative these people are. And they're going to take, once they get this business in operation, they're going to take 8 space explorers with them. And unlike the Bezos space trip, where he went and experienced G-forces in the rattling, you know, of a rocket and G-force into space, they're going to glide up for 2 hours, circle the Earth at the edge of space, and then glide back down. And there'll be 8 of them sitting in reclining chairs, and the damn thing's got a bar besides that, Tim. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding you. It's got a bar. It's got a piano and a place for a little small band. I mean, you know, you and Carolyn, seriously, you ought to think about, you know, maybe this is the kind of ultimate destination wedding. I don't know. But my point is that that's a cool, you know, Jane Poynter is an aerospace engineer doing her job out there, ordinary human being. God, making such an extraordinary impact. And her story is so powerful. And I think you're right. People are attracted to powerful stories. I mean, here's this woman you wouldn't have heard about. She's just a cool science chick who has been building space components for 30 years with her husband in several Wow. different startups. And now, for the bargain price of $80 million, they've built this space balloon that's going to take 650 people in its first year up into space. So it's kind of cool how these stories find themselves to you once you have a podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they, you know, they find an audience. I mean, people want to hear from people who are doing stuff that's interesting.
And that's the power of podcasting, right? You know, look at how that story goes out to market. Ron Stefanski starts a podcast. You decide, hey, I want to feature people that are doing really cool things and let my podcast be a platform for them to share their story. They come on, they share their story, and now their story becomes your story becomes theirs because you created content together and you've created experience for now an audience to tune into. You've got your followers who enjoy learning from you and the great guests you have, but then you've now tapped into the space exploration community, right? And now you've grown your brand through their story and they've grown their brand through your channel. It's amazing, right? When you talk about community, and we talk at Markets Hill a lot about community engagement. The best way to engage community is content, whether you stream it together or whether you create it together. And that's what you're doing at such a high level.
Well, you know, that's what I found about DisruptEd. At first I was kind of worried about diluting, you know, mm-hmm. the story of DisruptEd when I moved outside of the education space, which I knew myself, going into advanced manufacturing and into technology. That was sort of a outside my comfort zone proposition. But what I found is a couple of things. Number one, as you build an audience, you have, you know, in this case, 25,000 people that are following this regularly. And my friends were all like, you know, do you really know these people? Are they really following you? And so I kind of made a commitment to start calling people that had become part of my network. So every couple of weeks, I challenged myself to set up a virtual coffee with a complete stranger that's just become Wow. part of our disrupted community. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to hitting it out of the park, my track record for doing that is 100%. When I have called and asked for a virtual coffee, I've, number one, never been turned down. Wow. Number two, it has always been a phenomenal experience. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm a biz dev guy and I just met another customer and this is a cool way to do it.
Of course not.
I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying you meet interesting people that want to help you be successful at mm-hmm. what you're doing. And you can easily find something to do for them that would be helpful to them. And that exchange of helping each other, to me, is very powerful because we live in these very, very antisocial times. We live in this very poisonous media environment. And I mean, don't you think, Tim, that it's about time we took over social media and said, you know what, it's not for the chat bots, it's for human beings to connect with one another and to have real stories and real conversations with people. I mean, I think that's, we have to do that if we're going to remake social media the way we need it to be.
Oh, 100%. And your point on the coffee, virtual coffee meetings you set up, you know, I kind of live by an adage, hey, you know, be interested, not interesting. And, you know, I think if more people think that way and engage that way, there is no sort of thing as pushy salesmen. There is no sort of thing as, you know, propaganda or motive pusher. It's, hey, look, I am truly interested in what you're doing as a business. I'm truly interested in you as a thought leader. I'm truly interested in the career you've built. And I just want to be a student of that. And hey, maybe I have some wisdom that I can lend you. And you know, that's the power of, I think, where social media has been. And I think that's where we need to continue to make it and get it there.
You know, that's interesting because one of my mentors, Brian Rizzi, whom I worked for 10 years at Cengage in one of my previous roles in business development, when I was leaving the organization, he said, you know, the thing that's going to be toughest for me with you leaving is that you really love these people. I mean, you're not selling to them. You really just love the people you get to hang out with in the job you happen to call business development, but you really enjoy their company. You enjoy their interests outside of the library, in this case, or whatever. He said, you know, that worries me because if you come back into the library space, I just think you're going to have all these relationships that are going to be a, you're going to compete against us, and I'm going to lose in that situation. And what the win was is knowing that, you know what, that's true. I think if you re as you reach a certain point, certainly for me, it was after years of being in the game of sales, that I realized, you know, it's not about me and it's not about being successful. And any salesperson that says, "Oh, I made my goal every year," is someone I'd question, because it's tough out there. But what isn't tough is being interested in other people and, you know, what they're doing, what they're trying to get done. I think that's always going to be a growth business. You know, it's always going to be
Absolutely.
something that people are interested in. You know, Tim, as I think about the influence you've had on the growth of Disrupt Ed and the growth of my own community, you know, I guess I want to ask you, you know, I haven't had a chance to ask you this off screen too much, but I mean, what are some of the other people? You know, you work with a lot of people that are building their thought leadership out there and they have a day job. You know, what are you seeing that they do to make time for this and then to do creative things in that time to make sure they are building their audience and doing it authentically?
Yeah, I love that question, Ron, and it hits home here to myself. It hits home to team members at market scale. You know, I'll use our own team as an example just to speak about ourselves. You know, we've got a great sales team here and leads of industries here, and each industry lead, they have their own podcast. So, for example, Ben Thomas heads up Pro AV Today. You know, Katie Steinberg heads up Game Changers, and it's really a channel that they own where they'll bring on industry experts and industry thought leaders. And, you know, when they were first going to launch those channels, they were of the mindset of what you just said. Hey, I've got to set up sales meetings. Hey, I have to hit a quota. Hey, I've got to be at this trade show. And they saw the podcast and this channel building as extra work, right? It was like a homework assignment.
Right.
What changed is when we could help them and they could see it for themselves of, oh my gosh, this podcast channel, this channel to create content isn't homework. This is what makes my job easier. You know, by featuring people that I might be interested in selling on my show, I'm allowing them to truly meet me. I'm allowing them to see the market scale product. I'm creating an experience for this person before we ever even ask them for something, right? And that makes the job easier. You know, they use the channel to build their own brand and it elevates their thought leader. So now they're a much better and bigger educator in this space and you know, not just a, you know, regular salesperson who's calling. They're a true expert. They're an executive in their space. And that's the shift, right? That is what we see. You know, just yesterday, a good friend of ours, Matt Brost, he's an executive at Lockton and Dunning, and essentially is heading up selling, you know, benefits and solutions. And he had an amazing LinkedIn post where he had said, "Hey, if you had told me a year ago that I would have a podcast channel where I talk nothing about benefits and solutions for companies, and instead just focus on featuring really cool people who create an excellent culture in their workplace, if you had told me that I would have 20,000 listeners a year later, I think you're crazy, because I'm not talking about what I do." And that's the hack today, right? The hack is, yeah, don't talk about what you do. Talk about interesting things, bring on interesting people, tap into their own media. And in return, that makes everything in your life so much easier. And that's what we see. And kind of one other element, not to overspeak on the question, but, you know, look at what we do in our personal life, Ron. How much media do we consume, whether it's TikTok, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Netflix, whether we're watching, you know, our University of Michigan team live? A lot of our engagement, how we connect with people, is through media and content. So the people who see that and bring that into their everyday in work, they're the ones that are getting ahead, and they're the ones that are growing in their industry and are getting recognized when they're at trade shows and are doing some amazing things at their company and in their space. So that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that, because I see that right downtown Detroit where I live. I mean, I'm right on the riverfront, and not too far from me is what will be the new Michigan Central Innovation Campus, opening on June 6th. And that's the former train station that's now going to be the headquarters for Ford Motor Company, Google, and a whole lot of mobility Wow. startups, with the idea that we're going to reestablish Detroit as the global mobility center. And for me, that resonates really, you know, really, really deeply, because I'm here in Detroit because of that mobility dream. My grandparents were immigrants from Poland, and my great grandfather left Poland as a coal miner to become a coal miner in Ohio, and another in Pennsylvania. And my grandparents said, "You know what? BS on being down underground in a cave and hauling out coal. You know, this guy Walter Chrysler is promising $5 a day to work in an automobile factory." So both my grandparents came That's to amazing. Detroit. They saved $300 to buy a Model A in 1926, got married, and went to work for Walt Chrysler at the Dodge Mean in the Chrysler plant. And, you know, so mobility is an exciting proposition. But what I'm seeing is, you know, the stories are lifting that story about mobility way up. And so a new lab has come in next door to the Michigan Innovation Campus, and they've created a whole incubator for mobility startups. And I've got a lot of friends that have helped lift that up. Rich Folley, who's there, started at New Lab and then got recruited away by one of the companies that's there, Airspace Link. And that's where I met my guest host, Ashley Williams, who is a dynamite media, rising star in media, former journalist. Got her journalism degree from USC, was a journalist for USA Today for years, and then developed her own media company. And she's doing exactly what you're saying. You know, she's working with clients who are saying, "Help me put authentic content out there. And I don't care if it's highly polished. I want it to be real." And then, you know, as I look at all the energy that's happening in that building, I've met so many people. Alexa and Johnny Turnage are a couple who've been community activists, and they decided that there needs to be a tech ecosystem of Black entrepreneurs. So they created this movement called Black Tech Saturdays. They started it last fall, Tim, and they had 60 people. I was there for the first one, and their sponsor, their philanthropist that helped them get this thing off the ground, was sponsoring lunch in 3 hours to do some presentations, and they have people network, people that wanted coders, people that wanted to hire people. And the last one I went to had well over 1,500 people there.
Wow.
I mean, there's an energy around that. And there's an energy, you know, and I think that's the other piece of creating this content, is it's about creating energy around a community. We want to be part of a tribe. We want to be part of a group that has interests that are similar to ours or pushes us to pursue interests that we might not necessarily have had on our own. You know, a lot of people who come to that particular event, you know, they are just there to meet people and to learn about how, you know, maybe there's a job I want to be part of, you know. So, I mean, do you see that? I would imagine that as you hear from a lot of companies telling their stories, it turns out that that's really what it is. It's community creates energy, and energy is something we all want to plug into.
That's it. I mean, everybody craves some form of community, and they get it in, you know, a variety of different ways. And in this digital world that we live in, as we're conducting business and communicating with, you know, folks in all different buckets of our company, how do you build community? The answer is content, because it's really the foundation of community building. You know, when you have an event, like you said, the Black Tech Saturdays, and you'll have 1,500 people there, think about what those 1,500 people are able to do. They're now all able to pull out their iPhones, create selfie videos, record each other, promote one another, share that content on their TikTok, their Instagram, their LinkedIn, their Facebook, their, you know, Twitter or X. And now that person's micro community following is now being invited to see what this Black Tech Saturday group is doing. And they tap into now that digital community to grow and promote and celebrate. And that's it. And, you know, that's why I get a riot out of all these companies that will spend so much money to go to a trade show, and they're a part of that association community, and it's amazing, and they're high-fiving, and they're having beers, and they're, you know, staying out late, and they're educating at products. But if you're not creating content from that and tapping into the much bigger community outside that association that wasn't able to make the event or doesn't even know about that association but knows that world, you know, you're really missing out. And community is just is craved all the time, and content is the gasoline that allows that community to grow and fuel.
Well, you know, I also see another undercurrent here, and that's the community of people that start working for each other. You know, when I started out, it was me and Dr. Caesar, you know, and then right. All of a sudden, as my podcast and community grew, you know, to your credit, you assigned a lot of resources and a lot of people on the Market Scale team that work with us now and help us get that content out and help us get it right. And I can't be more grateful to you, Tim, and every one of those people, including Alex LeBlanc, who's in the background, you know, and never gets a shout out. Never gets the shout out he deserves for the amazing work he does, and Zach Werblow, and you know, the list goes on of people. And then I think of the people that I've met through the podcast community, and now they're working with me to help build and enhance this community. I mentioned Ashley Williams, our newest guest host, but another rising star in this whole world of community engagement is a young lad. His name is Ethan Lloyd, and he's here at, I met him at Black Tech Saturdays because he was helping people learn how to do social media and how to make a post go viral. And I've had two viral posts since he started working with me. The first one, I think I told you about this one, Tim. Did we talk about Kony Pushkies?
I don't believe so.
I don't know if we did.
No.
Yeah, so on Fat Tuesday, the Detroit community gets all lathered up and excited about my people, the Polish people who make punschkis. And they make them the day before Lent. And it's Fat Tuesday and it's Punschki Day, the Tuesday before Easter starts. And so this is a thing. And in Detroit and in other places with large Polish communities of people like me, Hardy Stock, they make these punschkis. My grandmother used to make punschkis on Fat Tuesday. Well, anyway, there's a Coney Island diner in downtown Detroit. It's called Lafayette Coney Island. It's the American one. It's the competitors, American Coney Island. They started taking punschkis and taking the jelly out of them. It's a jelly donut. So they take the jelly out of them and they use it as a bun, and they would put their and the filling became the coney. So they call them Coney punschkis. Now imagine a coney dog made with a donut bun. I mean, I was like, really? And it's a thing. They sold over 1,500 of them. The place was packed. And Ethan and I went to go check this out. And there's a guy from CBC News in Canada that asked to interview us, and we're on the 6 o'clock news, and Ethan takes that and puts that clip out there, and we had over 70,000 people finding out about Coney Pooshkies. And I
actually
just
did
that
see
hilarious.
That LinkedIn post. Yeah, I saw you post that, and that was getting a riot.
Yeah, and I think it's we also can't forget what you've taught me more than any single person, and that is you got to make this fun. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a fun story. There's no significance to that. You're not going to get more customers by talking about, you know, eating more Pooshkies or eating more Coney's. It's fun. It reminds us of what we want from our connections with other people. It's deep connection. It's shared interests. It's exploring new interests together.
Exactly.
And I think that all goes into it. And so Ethan Lloyd's out there taking my post and telling me, hey, this one looks like it could be viral. And now, you know, 70,000 post impressions later, the audience is growing. And I think we have to deliver for them, Tim. So I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. Deliver an honest story, deliver interesting guests and interesting people to your audience and let them meet them and let them hear about them and also have fun with them. So for you guys down in Dallas, how are you going to have fun today as we wrap this live event?
Oh, man, every day is fun in Dallas, Texas. Man, just a lot of ways, Ron. You know, we've got such a fun office and group of talented people here at Market Scale, and we're able to benefit from all working core here. But we've got this amazing remote community that really fuels Market Scale. Some of the most talented people, artists of all kinds and business minds of all kinds. And we've got some fun ways to engage them with some content creation that we're doing with March Madness brackets that are out. Personally, I love that one, being a huge sports fan. You know, we've got fun contests and trips up for grabs. And, you know, we talk at Market Scale a lot. You know, my brother Ben, who's our CEO, you know, he does such a great job of, you know, allowing us to realize, hey, look, we leave our lives out in the real world for, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours a day to come up this elevator. And it's not just to look at a computer screen and count down the hours. It's to do something big. It's to create change in B2B. It's to allow this to be a vehicle that creates monumental transformation and change in our personal lives with our families and lifestyles. And that's something that, you know, we literally live by here, and that creates a vibrant, fun community. Also creates a fun community here at Market Scale because, you know, being a company that doesn't have big capital backing, it was self-funded, every little part of Market Scale fuels the business. You know, every sale, every renewal, every great client deliverable, every new product development. And it's so cool seeing just the passion and the pride that everybody takes in their roles here, because it's really the domino effect. Everybody's job and role is as important as the other, and it's cool to build something together. So that's what we find. That's what we find fun, and it's going to be a good day and a good week and good close to March Madness.
Well, it is a good. I will say this. You know, I was a customer of yours for 3 years mm-hmm. before I became a. That's right. You know, an influencer or a podcast person on your platform. And I would say, you know, the thing that attracted me to working with Market Scale was the people there. I don't know how you've done it, and I've said this to you before, but you have attracted just an incredible team of people that are really earnest and happy and, you know, want to help people and are imaginative. And I think, you know, if I would say anything about my experience with you guys is you tapped into the juice that I still have left in the tank. You know, I have so much energy for the audience out there that's trying to make a difference in this world. And I have such an eager ambition to shut down the negative polarization that's out there in this space and to do something positive without being Pollyanna and to make it real and to make it authentic. And, you know, your team of Market Scalers out there in Dallas, I mean, they get it done. They're very, very fun to work with. So I got to hand it to you. However you guys have done it, you know, you've attracted a really good core people. And I would say that about the other organizations that I'm, you know, that I am privileged to talk about on my show, that I'm working with now, the Alliance for Adult Education and 418 Intelligence and Honor Education with Joel Padolny. You know, these are companies that, you know, what you find the more you engage audiences is that there are good companies with good people out there. And I think that's reassuring in a world that's full of so many things that are not very reassuring.
It is. And, you know, it's really just kudos to the amazing team here. You know, everybody, every department lead and everybody working within the department. So we're blessed to have found the right people, and everybody here is very mission centric. And when you have a team that's mission centric, you can do a lot of good. And so we're blessed to be in the position we are.
Well, I think you guys do approach it with a sense of mission. And where will people be able to contact you if they want to hear more about what you guys are doing, or whether or not there's you know, some opportunity to work with your team? How can they hear about you? How can they reach out to you?
Yeah, well, thanks for the plug, Ron. You can just go to marketscale.com. You know, there's a contact us form, request demo form. You can reach out to me personally, Tim at marketscale.com. Could be for anything. You know, I love Ron's idea of a virtual coffee. So, please reach out, and would love to meet, you know, anybody that had a chance to watch this broadcast and be a part of our community today. So thank you so much, Ron, for having me on here. And I'm really excited for what you're going to be doing here with this live show.
Well, thank you for those of you out there who've been listening. And we're going to be back in a couple of weeks with another guest yet to be named. But follow my feed on social media on LinkedIn, and you'll hear more about the next person that comes to the table to talk about other ideas about creating community when you have a day job out there. So this has been Ron Stefanski with Thought Leadership for Those at Day Jobs. See you in a few weeks. Until then, have a great one out there, and keep telling your stories out there. Thanks.